This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Bears lose to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, opening the season with back-to-back losses. Keep it here as the Score team dissects the loss. Plus, we'll have your reaction, too. We are Sports Radio 670 The Score, broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Presented to you in part by your local Hyundai dealers. WSCR Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, and always live on the free Odyssey app. The
Score! Goffin had a chip shot on the first drive from 40 yards here. Got his hand on it. The rookie corner making a special teams play.
Welcome back. It is the Great Clips postgame show presented by Tullamore Dew. And that was the hit of the game, sponsored by Estwing Professional Tools, made in the USA for 100 years, estwing.com. That was a blocked field goal. Things were looking pretty good at that point. I'm David Hall, along with Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley. Here, breaking down the Bears, 27-17 loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 27-17, the second straight loss. The Bears start 0-2. I thought that blocked field goal. Patrick Manley, you're the expert on special teams. What happened, and how do you explain the Tyrick Stevenson getting in there? I think it was Rasheem Green that got the block. What happened?
Rasheem Green got it. If you go back and watch the Minnesota Vikings tape last week, I got to give Coach Hightower some credit. That's right side of the Vikings protection unit on field goal gave up a lot of pressure. So that's scouting during the week. I believe he changed out a D lineman for an O lineman because he was so bad last week. So when you're putting a backup guy in, you're going to get run over. And he exploited a weakness and did a nice job. And I got to give him credit for that. And that's an effort play too. Sometimes guys get on field goal block and they take a play off, but I think it was preaching to them that, hey, you can get home on this, and they did it.
At that point, you thought, well, you never know. They could hang around. You get a play like that. The game should have been much more lopsided at halftime. The Bears' defense had given up 292 yards, I believe. You don't see often teams only down one possession or even less with giving up that much, that kind of disparity in total yardage, and yet they begin the second half, and they weren't able to take advantage. The game closer than we thought, but the Bucs really didn't get stopped on offense much all day.
No, they didn't get stopped. They only got stopped when it was time to score touchdowns. They got stopped in the red zone, and that is what the Tampa 2 is known for, is to give up yardage. Now, not that much yardage, not that much time of possession, but you're either looking for, Pat, they're going to make them go the distance of the field, and me and you know this well. They're looking for a takeaway, or they're looking to hold them to a field goal. So that was kind of working for – not kind of working for Chicago Bears today. That was working a lot of the time for the Chicago Bears defense today. It's just like we talk about, when it came time to make the plays, whether it was the interception or the Jalen Johnson punching out that ball. I think he punched it out from the tight end, and I think the ball popped like 15 yards backwards. And then we didn't recover it, and on the next play, guess what happens? Mike Evans runs behind Tyrick Stevenson. It's a touchdown, and now they're up 20-10. So these are the problems with the Bears' defense right now. Can they find a way to make the plays that are there to be made?
Yeah, the key to a good team is you take advantage of that, right? A blocked field goal, a punched-out ball, a ball that hits Jaquan Brisker twice in the hands, and they're just not doing that. And it's again, it just, this sounds like a lot of post games from last year. You know, it just sounds a lot like what we saw last year.
Get back to the phone lines, 312-644-6767. The Scores listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Zach is in Roselle. Zach, welcome to the postgame show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Just been watching the same show the last 20 games.
Yeah, speak into the microphone there, Zach. Let's go to Dave, is in Forestville. Dave, welcome to the postgame show. How's it going?
Yeah, Luke Getsy has to go. This, two games in a row now. Last week he had all season. He had all off-season training camp to get ready. Wasn't ready. He comes out, he teases us in the first series. I thought, okay, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. I'm thinking we're going. The next series, they're off the rails. Where did that set of plays come from? Unbelievable. They never got back to where they started. And the other thing is, why do the Bears hate play action pass? It's like they never run it. I never see them run it.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate the phone call. Olin, what's your response to Luke Getsy criticism you're bound to hear this week?
Yeah, I mean, it is deserved, right? It's deserved after two games with the way the offense has been playing, the lack of details they play with. We talked about a bunch of things that they've been doing or they not doing, the things that they are not doing, right? And the mental mistakes. And as a group, that falls on all of them. That falls on Getsy. The thing I will say, like with players, like, you know, if you call and say it's time for Getsy to go, then you're probably saying that you want Janoco to call plays, right? So who's up next? Who is the guy who would be calling plays for Chicago Bears? This is what they have right now. They have to get better at what they're doing, a little more consistent, get Justin Fields a little more comfortable. They try to go no huddle today. That seems to not help them too much. It helped sometimes, but it didn't. What are they capable of, Pat and Dave? What are they capable of doing this year? I think they have to look at plays like the Claypool touchdown, right, where Claypool is open. Justin Fields threads the needle, even Cole Kmet is running like a wheel on the outside there. He comes open. Braxton Jones is blocking his guy there on the edge, shuts down one of the better rushers, Shaquille Barrett. These are the things, Pat, that the Chicago Bears, for right now, they have to hang on and say, look, this is what we can be. Can we do this more often?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Getsy hasn't played well. He hadn't coached well. Justin Fields hasn't played well. So who gets more of the blame? I think the more we get to see these games, you know, evaluate on Monday and Tuesday and really get to see some tape, who is it? Is it Getsy or is it Fields? I mean, Fields is not playing well either. You go back to last week, you got that all 22, he missed a lot of throws. I think he missed a lot of throws again. And how much blame is it on Getsy and Fields? And I think that's what we're going to find out over the weeks. But yeah, you would hope a coach could figure out a way to score more points, get more first downs, but I really don't know who is more. Is it Getsy or Fields? I just don't know yet.
I worry that Justin Fields has regressed, and I worry that the things that we talk about coming into the season, making the layups and making the easy throws look easier and doing simple better, are things that now when things fall apart and maybe they fall behind or he is under pressure, and everybody respects that, but it affects or impairs his ability to do the fundamental things fundamentally well, and the mechanics may get messed up, and all of a sudden you can assume nothing about your passing game in an offense that needs to assume a lot for it to work.
I don't know if he's regressed. What I do know is this: I think they're asking him to do more, and I think they're putting a little more on his plate. So the problem may not be that he's regressed, guys. The problem may be that he's in the same spot, that they have to go back to the same kind of offense I think Pat talked about earlier, where, okay, we got to go back to where we're running the ball most of the time. We're running, you know, quarterback runs, but why not? Why not give him a college offense? Why not see if he can succeed doing that? Now, the biggest question would be, if they did that with him, could he stay healthy? Could he stay healthy through 17 games if we're treating you like a running back / quarterback? Because right now, would leave him in the pocket more, would having him run the no-huddle offense, was giving him more reads, more progressions, more plays, more things to do, it doesn't seem like it's going really well. But do you stick with it and hope for the breakthrough? I don't know if that's what they're also trying to do.
Let's go back to the phone lines. John is in Dallas. John, what did you think of today's game? Welcome to the Score.
Hey guys. I'm enjoying you. I partially agree with you. Listen, two quick things. First of all, Getsy got to go because look at the last play. You don't call a screen play on no 7-yard line when Justin just was 6-for-6 throwing down the field. Come on, man. It's too congested down at the goal line. That was the wrong play call. Getsy needs to go. And then when you think about what they were doing all day, how all of a sudden he looks good first play. And this is the last thing. This is why you defer your kickoff, because you come out with a game plan after adjusting at halftime. They come out and look horrible. They're not adjusting. The coaches are not adjusting. I'll hang up and hear what you got to say.
Hey, John, who looked horrible when they came back out? I don't know if it was the coaches. I thought Justin Fields held on the ball and the players didn't play well. I mean, yeah, Getsy can maybe change as it goes along. But if I remember that drive, it was more Justin Fields. It was on him not looking good.
You know, it's funny when you think about the end of the game there. Claypool gets that penalty, backs them up on a wide receiver. I mean, on a running back screen, right? The next Shaquille Barrett's in coverage on that play, and then on the next play he's rushing. But they run not the exact same formation, but Pat, Herbert's on the same side. He does the exact same action. They run almost the exact same screen, and he reads it and catches it. I'm sure even Coach Getsy has to admit he'd like to have that call back.
Mm-hmm. I want to get back to what Olin said about changing the offense or looking at it in a more simplistic way. And maybe he's not progressed. Justin Fields isn't ready to take that next step schematically or otherwise or whatever, but what would be the, besides fear of injury, what would be the any drawbacks in going back to what worked for a very, it was a magical 4-5 game stretch last year, guys. Justin Fields and the adjustments they made to, you kidded earlier, Olin, about Greg Roman, but when they ravenized the Bears offense and he was asked to basically mimic Lamar Jackson, he looked like Michael Vick. And we haven't seen that guy very often or often enough. So I wonder what would be preventing the Bears coaching staffs at this stage of the season, knowing what's ahead and what they've seen in two games, Olin, from starting over or at least going back to that point and saying, if this is what's worked, let's do it again.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what would prevent them from doing it. I don't know why they wouldn't just start with those concepts, with what they see on film that he does well, that gets him going, that gets this offense moving. I wouldn't know why they just wouldn't start there. That is fascinating to me, as I'm sure it is to a lot of people, especially when you see the way Justin Fields has struggled. We've heard all the reports coming out of camp. Now, full disclosure, I don't go to any of the camp practices, so I don't know, but you heard they were struggling with the pass game in camp. You heard they were struggling on offense in camp against this defense. And you see this defense. I know somebody told me one day, they're like, Olin, man, I think the defense is really, really good at camp. I said, well, they're either really good or the offense is really, really bad. So we don't really know why they don't do it. I do know this at this point right now, some quarterback powers, some zone reads, some offense that Justin Fields did well last year, bringing that back into the fold, it can't hurt this offense.
I'm with you, but I was thinking about it. Are they sticking to a plan? You know what I mean? They had an off season to talk about it and said, okay, we saw what he can do last year with running the ball. Is that sustainable? I don't know, because he can get injured. Let's start with this. Let's see if we can play from the pocket. Do they have a plan of 4 games, 2 games, 3 games, half a season? That's what I think. That's what I kind of see now or think is what happened. They have a plan. Like, find out if this guy can be our pocket passer who's an incredible athlete, and then we can mix in those runs. And I think they're going to wait for desperation to change the offense if they have to. That's when they're 0-7, like we were talking about, David. And maybe they'll win 10 games straight after that.
Back to the phone lines, 312-644-6767.
The plan is revealed.
Okay, that's the plan. Great one. Great plan. Maurice.
Hey, this post-game show is reaching.
Yes, we are, man.
Yeah, come on. You know, it's been a long day. It's been a long season, and it's only September 17th. Maurice, welcome to the Great Cliffs postgame show. What's up, Maurice?
Hello, gentlemen. First of all, hi, Pat. Hi, Olin. I had a great time 4 years ago, but as a previous caller said, it's the same old crap. Justin Fields is not a quarterback. He made, throughout this game, bad passing decisions in the second quarter. He had a clean pocket. He could have passed. He ran the ball. I can't remember the receiver that was wide open. Second, he's a running back. He runs north and south rather than scrambling and buying time. He doesn't check his receivers, his targets, which goes back to my first statement. He doesn't trust his offensive line. Again, no pocket presence. And you talk about running quarterbacks, they don't last in the league long. You previously, Mr. Haas, stated Michael Vick, may I add Cam Newton, and Robert Griffin III. Overall, with 12 losses in a row, the Bears are becoming the laughingstock of the NFL. Have a great show. Have a great day.
Thanks, Maurice. Wow. You too. Cheer up a little bit.
You know, one thing we do want to do, Pat, though, is like there is immediate reaction to the game, and then there is kind of exactly what happened on the field on film, right? And in the second drive, they do play action. Darnell Wright gets beat pretty quickly by Shaquille Barrett, and there's a sack. Like, Justin Fields doesn't have a chance there. Then they run one of those wide receiver motions, and they're running a wide receiver sweep with Velus Jones, and Cole Kmet gets dominated at the point of attack. And then on the next play, Justin Fields does hold the ball too long on 3rd and 13, and he gets sacked, right? But that doesn't mean he's not playing. That doesn't mean he's playing good, because he is playing bad. But you have to take a look at this with clear eyes and say, okay, what really is going on out there on the football field? And then, and only then, can the Chicago Bears fix the problems that they have.
Go ahead, Pat.
Yeah, I'm with you. And that's what stinks, because it goes back to last year again that, you know, sometimes you can take a team if you have a stud quarterback or a stud defense or something, and you can put Band-Aids at places, right, for places that are positions that aren't playing well or that, you know, you can help out with. But you just mentioned a tight end, a receiver, and a quarterback all making mistakes, and they continue to make these same mistakes, and a tackle making the same – or not a receiver, but a tackle making the same mistakes. And that's just what stinks to hear. And like Maurice said, it's just the same old crap. I think Bears fans are just getting sick and tired of seeing the same old crap happen, where you can't put a Band-Aid on one situation. It's happening everywhere. Offensive line, defensive line. Now we got injuries at the DB position. Justin Fields is playing the same way. It is annoying, but yeah, it is the same old crap, Maurice. I'm getting a little fired up now because it's driving me crazy.
Let's squeeze in one more phone call from Jimmy, who was at the game in Tampa. Jimmy, are you a Bears fan or a Bucks fan, or just had to kill a couple hours at Raymond James Stadium?
Hey, guys, longtime Bears fan, longtime listener of the show. Listen, I heard you guys talking about maybe going, you know, talking about putting Justin Fields back into the offense that he was in last year, and it sounds to me like, you know, dumbing it down is going backwards. Mm-hmm. I mean, this guy is a pro athlete, right? And I'm sick of hearing about, hey, maybe we might need to dumb it down. I mean, there's Patrick Manley over there who is a pro, and Olin who is a pro. You guys got paid a lot of money, and Justin Fields to, you know, make a lot of money, but we need to see him excel and not go backwards. So I'm pretty sick of it. It was a rough day, but the weather's super nice here in Tampa. I'll hang up and listen, guys. Thanks.
Thanks, Jimmy. Appreciate the phone call. But, guys, I don't necessarily agree that it's dumbing it down as much as I think it's realizing sometimes you have to take one step back to take two steps forward. And you're also, it's incumbent upon coaches to put players in the best positions for them to reach their potential. And that might be what it represents or requires for Justin Fields.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Olin,
yes. I think you're right. I think from what we saw from the first two games that they do have to simplify it a little bit. Or not simplify, we should put it a different way. Do what he does well. Get him going a little bit and then mix in the from the pocket concepts. I just talked about the Chase Claypool play, right, Pat? I mean, that is a big-time throw that he layers there over the linebackers, in between the safeties. He's got good blocking there on first and 10. I mean, it's not something, to be honest with you, I would have called. I wouldn't have called right there in that situation.
Yeah, but it's just frustrating because you get to see a series or two a game or three. And that's a successful game for Justin Fields. We don't get to see a full first half combined with a full second half. And I think that's the frustrating part here is that you'll see those flashes. You'll see those throws. And the next thing you'll see is him holding a ball, running around with guys wide open and maybe not understanding the coverages or the concepts. And I'm not opposed to just keeping this going for a while on him to see if he can learn, giving him this more pocket offense to see if he can figure it out. I think we know what his strengths are. We know who he is in that regard. But if you could combine both of those, then you've got an absolute stud.
He's Patrick Manley along with Olin Kreutz. I'm David Haw here until 5 o'clock taking your phone calls, 312-644-6767 on the Great Clips postgame show presented by Tullamore Dew. Also, we need to thank the fine folks at Aurelius Pizza for kicking things off the right way with a delicious pregame feast that lasted until halftime. I think there's still some leftovers there that Tyler's going to get on the way out. You can download the Aurelio's app and start earning rewards today. Visit AureliusPizza.com to order from the location nearest you. Aurelius Pizza, it's the sauce. And we come back, we are going to hear from Matt Eberflus after this 27-17 loss by the Bears to the Tampa Bay Bucks. They dropped to 0-2. We'll hear from Flusie next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We're back with more of the Great Clips postgame show. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Presented by Tullamore Dew. When it's game time, it's telly time. Now here are your hosts, Olin Kreutz, Patrick Manley, and filling in for Mully, David Haw on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Welcome back to the Great Clips postgame show presented by Tullamore Dew. I'm David Haw along with Olin Kreutz and Patrick Manley. Taking your phone calls, 312-644-6767. We'll get to Matt Eberflus in a moment, but have to let you know who's hot and who's cold. Sponsored by Plumbers 911. Plumbing emergency. Call the plumbing professionals. Available 24-7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. Who's hot? Well, that's an easy one for the Bears. DJ Moore, 6 catches, 104 yards. Yes, he got on track early with a long of 33 yard and then that reception. He was targeted 7 times. Who's cold? Well, he did throw 2 interceptions. He is the subject of most of our conversation. He did complete 16 of 29 passes, 211 yards, 2 interceptions, 1 touchdown, sacked 6 times. Justin Fields' passer rating was 61.1. So he is the cold one. DJ Moore was the hot one, sponsored by Plumbers 911. Patrick Manley, you had an interesting thing you included in the text. You said that last year Justin Fields had 2 200-yard passing games, and this year he's already matched that. Is that the good news or the bad news?
I don't know. I was just trying to think of something positive. I'm like, wait a minute. He's tied his total from last year. And that, it's embarrassing because that number last year is pretty darn bad. But, you know, this is the NFL. It's a passing league. You should be throwing for 250-plus. If you want to be elite, you want to grow, he should be doing that. And he, what, it's 211 and 216, I think, the last two games. And it's just not good enough. But I was kind of being funny about it, obviously. And I was trying to look for a little bit of positive in it. But maybe he can improve.
Well, I think that he did have some big moments. The series before, he threw his second pick six in 2 games against Shaq Barrett on the screen play, the defining play of the game, essentially. He completed all 6 on the fourth quarter drive. There was progress there, but overall it's hard to remember that. It's hard for that to mean anything based on the way things ended, But that was an encouraging drive followed by a very disappointing one.
Yeah, it's just the inconsistency of it. You know, it's what we saw last year, and we saw flashes, and we're like, oh, he's going to take the turn. You're waiting for the next week. All right, is he going to put it together for three quarters, maybe an entire game? These games look almost identical to what we've seen in the past. Less running now than what they had later in the season last year, but they look the same. He's flashy. He puts together those drives, and you're like, there he is. Can we get him for the rest of the year and the rest of his career? But he doesn't seem like he can put it together that way.
And Matt Eberflus faced reporters post-game at Raymond James Stadium. This is what he had to say, or a portion of his post-game address to the media.
67 yards on the ground in the running game. How much moving forward are you looking for more of a balance in running the ball, so kind of helping that offense out just a little bit more, maybe taking some pressure off of Justin a little bit as well?
Yeah, you're always searching for that. You really are. You're always searching for balance. That's when you play winning football. When you stay ahead of the sticks like that, when you have a good running game, it opens up the play action. And, you know, we have to really put the hammer down on that and make sure we do a good job with balance.
How do you answer the inconsistency of the offense? Great first drive on the script, and then there's six that don't result in anything. And then there's that one where Chase gets has the touchdown with Justin. The in-between period just kind of felt like a roller coaster.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about execution, right? It's about how we execute. And to me, when you go back and watch the tape, you know, it's about that. You know, it's about guys executing the scheme and making plays inside the scheme. And that's when good things happen. That's when you move the ball. And, you know, when you get the ball to special players, sometimes they make guys miss. And, you know, we should have scored on the one that was thrown over to DJ. He barely stepped out on the one. But, man, he was trying to score. So, that's just an example. But, yeah. What's that? Yeah, I have nothing further on that. Yeah, I can't right now. I don't know. I don't have the answer for that. And when we do, we'll give you the answers. What's that? We'll cross that bridge when we get there. I haven't talked to Nate. I talked to him right when it happened, and then I haven't talked to him since then. I called him and I texted him, but I have not visited with him yet.
What went into the decision to start Carter at right guard?
Just the familiarity with the offense at that position. We thought it was our best chance in there because he's been playing that spot. He's been the backup.
Last one, man. At 20-17 with the ball, what was your mindset at that point with an opportunity late a whole afternoon gone to have the ball in control?
Yeah, I thought it was really good. I was really positive. It was 2:19. I want to say so we had the 2 minute. You know, so we were good there. We were planning on running two plays there before the 2 minute, and so we were going to do that and take the 2 minute and then start driving from there. I was thinking about what if we score quickly, then I got to, you know, the defense has got to step up and make a big stop. And so I was thinking about that as well. Yep.
Thank you.
That was part of Matt Eberflus's post-game media press conference down at Raymond James Stadium in Tampa here on the Great Clips post-game show presented by Tullamore Dew. Quick reaction, Olin, of what you heard from the head coach and how he explained away this loss.
Yeah, it just sounds like he doesn't have the answers. They got to execute. They got to do the things within the scheme that they have to do, but also the coaches have to improve on their scheme to get these players involved more, to get the ball to guys like DJ Moore. We see Velus Jones once, right, on a sweep. We don't see him again with the kind of speed he has. We see Chase Claypool on a touchdown. We just don't see these kind of plays enough, right? And on defense, in your scheme, how do we stop these guys on third down, right? How do we get off the field? How do we stop all these big plays we're giving up on third and eight plus, Pat, which the percentages are pretty good that you're going to get off the field, just not for the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, it was interesting. It was an interesting chat there. He talked about execution, that he's happier with it. You had 2 turnovers, 6 sacks, 5 penalties.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how was that better?
That's not good.
Be like, yeah, just say it wasn't good enough. Don't say it was better. I would rather be told as a player, just be honest. Don't sugarcoat it. Just tell me it wasn't good enough. That's it.
Right, as long as he tells me, right? I mean, I can see what he's doing in front of the media there. But you're right. If he, like, when he gets in front of that team room on Monday morning, he's got to let those guys know that what they're doing right now, with the way they're executing, with the mistakes they're making in critical moments, that is not good enough.
Yeah.
Back to the phone, Score listener line powered by BetQL. Jason is in Colorado Springs. Jason, welcome to the Great Clips postgame show.
Gentlemen, Hall, huge fan, Olin and Pat, professionals, and Olin, you play with intensity, and Pat, you're an Iron Man. Listen, I got to call you guys to task. I've been on hold for an hour. The last maybe 20 minutes, I've heard you come around a little bit on holding the team accountable, getting upset, getting frustrated. You guys are hosts. You're paid, but come on. You got to be frustrated with what's going on here. You can't tell me you've seen anything better from Justin Fields than you've seen for the last year and a half. You know, he's been in the NFL for three seasons now. Are you seeing anything better? Why do you make an excuse, Olin? You're saying 12 games, 13 games, that you need to see Justin Field continue to play before you make a change? See what you have.
Jason, who do you want to see? If we take Justin Fields out, who do you want to see?
Hey.
Something. Who do you want to see? If I take Getsy out, who do you want to call
the
plays?
Same thing, Olin.
They're not on the street. You can't just get them from anywhere. You got to have somebody to put in there to replace them.
What do you have with Bajan?
You got to have a plan. Fire everybody.
I'm not gonna go all in on the Tennessee game, preseason game, but you've seen somebody who was decisive, who anticipated routes. Who was
against
accurate?
The Tennessee's fourth defense. Yes, I did see that against the Tennessee against guys who aren't in the NFL right
that.
Now. I did see
you
that.
You have not seen that with Justin Fields. You have not seen anybody.
You're saying we've never seen that with Justin Fields? We've never seen him play well?
With anticipation, knowing with routes. You know what? It's frustrating with you because I know you play with intensity. And it's listening to you guys talk. And again, I've got great respect, Haw and Olin, when you lined up over the ball. With intensity. But I hear you guys talk, and it's making an excuse. How are you not upset? Pat, I heard you finally, and you were apologetic for it. You were apologetic for having passion, being frustrated, watching this team play. This is the exact same team that we have seen for how long? There's no change. You want to push a reset button and you want to see something completely different, but we don't. We don't see that. And you're apologetic. You're radio hosts. You're on the air. You're hosting a show. You're going to keep your job. Keep your job with a take that is going to hit home with the fans. Don't be apologetic.
I'm going to tell you what, Jason. I'm gonna give you my take. I'm going to give you exactly what I think about the team. You know
Please
what I mean?
Do.
That is exactly what I think. It's week two. You want us to fire everybody at Halas Hall in week two?
No. It's week two of this season. It's week somebody, it might have been Molly who said, or it might have been you, Hall. This is like last week was like week 18 of the 2022 season. It was the same thing.
Yeah, that was me.
Nothing
Thanks, Jason. Jason,
Nothing
we appreciate where you're coming from. We accept any criticism. I'm just speaking for myself that you provide. I don't put myself in the same category as you guys, Pat and Olin. You guys played in the league for a long time. You are Chicago Bears through and through. If you want to rip them to the point where you're where you have regret in the morning, go ahead. You can do that. You have the license. You're a professional, too. My job is to be fair and to try to apply criticism where I think it's deserved and without crossing a line that is, where a line of professionalism. And where that line is, I think we're about as close to it as we can get professionally. Justin Fields does not appear to be the answer. Justin Fields has struggled. This was his 27th NFL start. It sure didn't look like it. He made a decision and he threw an interception that probably cost the Bears the game. The play calling left a lot to be desired. You need to look at it again, in fairness. I respect where Jason's coming from. He's speaking as a fan, but from our vantage point, from my vantage point, I think that maybe appropriately at the end of the season, there will be time to call for somebody to get fired or replaced. Mm-hmm. But two games into any season isn't that time.
No,
I think Pat said early in the show he's going to be hard on Justin Fields this year when he watches them with a critical eye, right? And Pat talked about that, and we talked about just that it's not good enough. It's just kind of, it is a continuation last year. They've lost, I think now it's 12 or 13 games in a row. It is hard to watch, and you understand where the frustration comes from. but you're not going to do, you're not going to change your analyst work in week two just because we want us to call for everybody's head and everybody get fired up there.
Right. Olin, I'm with you. Here's the way I look at it. Okay. Been on the radio now 10 years, been in that building 16 years, played football since I've been, what, five or six? I look at it this way. I want to give you my opinion, and I will give you my opinion. Like I said, I will judge Justin Fields hard, and he deserves to be judged hard. I'll judge Matt Eberflus hard. But, Olin, you're right. You can't fire people in week two. So I look at it two ways. And I've been in a building and involved in the NFL for a long time. You don't just start firing people. I get it. That's what you do on the radio. You fire everybody on the radio. But we're hired to give you analysts of this Bears team and give you an honest answer of our expertise and our opinions. And my opinion is, oh, yeah, Justin Fields is not good enough, but you can't just fire everybody right now. It's week two. Olin, you're right. Who are you going to hire? What are you going to do? You're going to set back the Bears even farther if you do that. Like, sorry, Jason, that was a dumb call to get honest about all that stuff. I'm going to do my job the way I'm going to do my job, and that's my belief and whatever. But I just, you know, all right, there's my passion for you, buddy.
See, I know there's your passion. That's what he's saying. Like, now you're pointing fingers. Yeah. Now you're getting tough.
I'm with you, Pat.
Look, you guys are the consummate pros.
You can't fire everybody.
Everything in professional life, sports or otherwise, is what is your alternative and how is it better?
Yes.
And if it's better, then you might make a replacement. If it's not, you do a lot of rationalizing and you do a lot. You show a lot of patience. And right now, the Bears don't have a better alternative at quarterback. They don't have a realistic alternative at offensive coordinator. They're going to have to live with this for now and find a way to get out of it. They dug this hole for themselves. They're staring at 0-3, but they're going to have to figure out a way themselves to get out of what they've created.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We got to get to a final break because we're getting more passion and more venting.
Our nightmare has come true. They're 0-2 and Fields is not playing good. Our nightmare has come true.
It has come true. 312-644-6767. Let us know what you think on the Great Clips postgame show presented by Tolar Mardu. David Haw, Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley for a final segment to wrap things up right here in Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We're back with more of the Great Clips postgame show. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Presented by Tolar Mardu. When it's game time, it's telly time. Now here are your hosts, Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, and filling in for Mully, David Haw on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Welcome back. It's the Great Clips postgame show presented by Tolar Mardu. I'm David Haw along with Patrick Manley and Olin Krutz talking about the Bears' 27-17 loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers down in Raymond James Stadium in Tampa. Bears dropped to 0-2. Going to squeeze in a few more phone calls and get final thoughts from Olin and Pat. Let's go back to the Score listener line and talk to Patrick, who is on the Score. Welcome, Patrick. How's it going?
It's going okay. This is for you exclusively, David. You've got more bad takes than I used to have hair. You said earlier, let's give Justin Fields a chance to run the ball like he did last year. What was his what was the team's record?
3-14
with him running the ball.
3-4. Well, they're 3-14 overall.
Yep. So what's that going to get you?
I think he was pretty good at it, Patrick.
He needs to stop playing like Michael Vick and, I don't know, go for Doug Williams or Warren Moon or somebody. And if he can't do it, they need to get somebody who can.
Okay.
That's it?
You're just stopping at one bad take? We could be here all day if you want to go through all my bad takes.
If you went through all of our bad takes, you'd be here for a week.
That's true.
It's going to be a long week, guys.
It's going to be a long week for the Bears.
A lot of it is just they've lost so much, you know, in the last 3 or 4 years. We've talked about a lot. They haven't been to the playoffs, Pat, since me and you were in the building, which now is a long, long time ago, right? I mean, so there's going to be frustration all over. There'll be people calling for people's jobs, and the Chicago Bears just got to find a way to get better.
Yeah, Pat, I mean, I think that's what you want them to do is find a way to get better. And I wonder if this is overstating it. And, you know, in the reaction mode, in the overreaction phase, the first couple hours after a game, you're gonna think things like this. Did what happened today, how badly did it damage the hope that people have invested in Justin Fields? Because a first-round draft pick in Chicago, we all lived through last year. That's what kept people going through 3-14. How much damage did what happened today, the first two games of this season, what did that do to the hope invested in Justin Fields?
Well, I think you're hearing it on the radio. I hear it from my friends texting me. I hear it when I read Twitter. We hear it all the time. And I think it really does hurt. And you said they just have to get better. You know what the easy fix is? Justin Fields. If he plays better, they get better. If he hits the open receiver, they get better. If he doesn't hold on the ball, they get better. Yes, he needs a better O line. Some of the receivers can catch the ball, but you know, he's helped them out there. But that's the easy fix. The fix of this team is Justin Fields going out there and playing better. You know, the talent around him is not great yet. There's no blue chippers, but that's the answer. He has to play better.
Yeah, I mean, excuse me. And you understand the frustration, right? I mean, from 2013, the record is 8-8, 5-11, 6-10, 3-13, 5-11, 1-12-4, 8-8, 8-8, 6-11, 3-14, and now they're 0-2, guys. It's a lot of losing. It's a lot of losing for Halas Hall. You understand the frustration. Obviously, for us, we have to do the show every week. You're just trying to look at the game. Why did they lose this game? What plays can they improve on in this game? If you look at an overview of what has been going on in Halas Hall for years, that is bigger than this one post-game show we're about to do.
I want to ask each of you to answer this and before we get out of here. How much do you trust the coaching staff to identify what went wrong accurately and then hold accountable whoever needs to be held accountable for those mistakes or shortcomings? Start with Olin.
Look, something that bugs me throughout the game is when you hear about when Chase Claypool, I remember Reuben Brown used to say when Lovie Smith used to put on highlights, all I see is a bunch of guys doing what they're supposed to be doing, right? And one thing I get worried about a team is when a guy just does, Pat, what he's supposed to be doing, and we're all celebrating it like it's great, yeah. Right? So we talked about that this team has a culture problem. So how can you trust after they had this whole offseason, after the way they looked against the Packers, after the way they looked just now against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? How can you trust anybody in that building that they're going to get it right? But there's another point to this is because of everybody who's in that building, Pat, we don't really have a choice.
Mm-hmm. That's the big one to me is how do you hold people accountable is you look at the backup. Are you scared of your backup? I don't think anybody on the team is really scared of their backup. And that's not a good roster construction. And maybe they're on the rebuild. We keep talking about that. But they're a year further from last year that there's nobody there that if you are, you know, Braxton Jones, are you really nervous about Larry Borum? You've seen what he's put out there.
No, you're not.
I mean, is there any position where you underperform? I mean, Chase Claypool, you know, that we talked about in the pregame, was Velus Jones brought up to kind of push him a little bit that if he struggled, does he slide into his spot? He played a little better. I got to give him credit. Didn't play great, but he played better. But there's nobody in that building that you're looking that might be a veteran. And there's a young guy like, hey, I'd rather have that guy there. Or is he pushing me or am I scared that he's going to take my job? So accountability is the big thing. You can't
so you're
be
saying next week they're going to suit up five quarterbacks.
That's what I'm saying.
Not six wide receivers.
Well, let's do this. They should have drafted Bryce Young and then had those two compete this year.
Wow. Well, that's next week's show.
Just kidding.
That's next week's show.
That's a good way to end this one.
Thanks,
huh?
Pat. Appreciate the content for all week. I'll be right here tomorrow morning, 5:30, the Mully and Haw Show, 5 o'clock, the pregame with Dustin Rhodes. Overnight, Gabe Ramirez. We got Bears talk all day long, all week long. Guys, thanks for making this fun and easy, even if it wasn't always enjoyable because of the outcome.
It was good, man. It was good when the frustration is so bad that they want to fire the post-game host also. So it's all good, man.
Hey, misery
you know
loves
I mean?
Company.
They want us fired. They want the Bears fired. I don't blame them. I don't blame them. The frustration is real, man.
Buccaneers 27, Bears 17. Thank you for listening to the Great Clips post-game show presented by Tullamore Dew. For Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley, I'm David Haas. Stay tuned right here on The Score. We're going to have the post-game from Raymond James Stadium, what Matt Eberflus and players had to say after that. 5:35, it is Cubs pregame. Big game for the Cubs tonight against the Diamondbacks. First pitch at 6:10 on The Score and the Xfinity Cubs radio network. This is where you want to be on The Score all night for the Cubs, overnight for the reaction to the Bears, and then all day long when the Bears are picked apart, dissected, and we let you vent here on 670 The Score. Thank you for joining us all afternoon. Even though it was a long one, it was a fun one. I'm David Hall. Talk to you in the morning. David Haw, Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley for a final segment to wrap things up right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We're back with more of the Great Clips postgame show. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Presented by Tullamore Dew. When it's game time, it's Telly time. Now here are your hosts, Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, and filling in for Mully, David Haw on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Welcome back. It's the Great Clips postgame show presented by Tullamore Dew. I'm David Haw along with Patrick Manley and Olin Krutz talking about the Bears' 27-17 loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers down in Raymond James Stadium in Tampa. Bears dropped to 0-2. Going to squeeze in a few more phone calls and get final thoughts from Olin and Pat. Let's go back to the Score listener line and talk to Patrick, who is on the Score. Welcome, Patrick. How's it going?
It's going okay. This is for you exclusively, David. You've got more bad takes than I used to have hair. You said earlier, let's give Justin Fields a chance to run the ball like he did last year. What was his what was the team's record?
3-14
with him running the ball.
3-4. Well, they're 3-14 overall.
Yep. So what's that going to get you?
I think he was pretty good at it, Patrick.
He needs to stop playing like Michael Vick and, I don't know, go for Doug Williams or Warren Moon or somebody. And if he can't do it, they need to get somebody who can.
Okay.
That's it?
You're just stopping at one bad take? We could be here all day if you want to go through all my bad takes.
If you went through all of our bad takes, you'd be here for a week.
That's true.
It's going to be a long week, guys.
Yes, it is. It's going to be a long week for the Bears.
A lot of it's just they've lost so much, you know, in the last 3 or 4 years. We've talked about a lot. They haven't been to the playoffs, Pat, since me and you were in the building, which now is a long, long time ago, right? I mean, so there's going to be frustration all over. There'll be people calling for people's jobs, and the Chicago Bears just got to find a way to get better.
Yeah, Pat. I mean, I think that's what you want them to do is find a way to get better. And I wonder if this is overstating it. And, you know, in the reaction mode, in the overreaction phase, the first couple hours after a game, you're gonna think things like this. Did what happened today, how badly did it damage the hope that people have invested in Justin Fields? Because a first-round draft pick in Chicago, we all lived through last year. That's what kept people going through 3-14. How much damage did what happened today, the first two games of this season, what did that do to the hope invested in Justin Fields?
Well, I think you're hearing it on the radio. I hear it from my friends texting me. I hear it when I read Twitter. We hear it all the time. I think it really does hurt. And you said they just have to get better. You know what the easy fix is? Justin Fields. If he plays better, they get better. If he hits the open receiver, they get better. If he doesn't hold on the ball, they get better. Yes, he needs a better O-line. Some of the receivers catch the ball, but you know he's helped them out there. But that's the easy fix. The fix of this team is Justin Fields going out there and playing better. You know, the talent around him is not great yet. There's no blue chippers, but that's the answer. He has to play better.
Yeah, I mean, And you understand the frustration, right? I mean, from 2013, the record is 8-8, 5-11, 6-10, 3-13, 5-11, 1-12-4, 8-8, 8-8, 6-11, 3-14, and now they're 0-2, guys. It's a lot of losing. It's a lot of losing for Halas Hall. You understand the frustration. Obviously, for us, we have to do the show every week. You're just trying to look at the game. Why did they lose this game? What plays can they improve on in this game? If you look at an overview of what has been going on in Halas Hall for years, that is bigger than this one post-game show we're about to do.
I want to ask each of you to answer this and before we get out of here. How much do you trust the coaching staff to identify what went wrong accurately and then hold accountable whoever needs to be held accountable for those mistakes or shortcomings? Start with Olin.
Look, something that bugs me throughout the game is when you hear about when Chase Claypool, I remember Reuben Brown used to say when Lovie Smith used to put on highlights, all I see is a bunch of guys doing what they're supposed to be doing, right? And one thing I get worried about a team is when a guy just does, Pat, what he's supposed to be doing, and we're all celebrating it like it's great. Yeah. Right. So we talked about that this team has a culture problem. So how can you trust after they had this whole offseason, after the way they looked against the Packers, after the way they looked just now against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? How can you trust anybody in that building that they're going to get it right? But there's another point to this is because of everybody who's in that building, Pat, we don't really have a choice.
Mm-hmm. That's the big one to me is you. How do you hold people accountable is you look at the backup. Are you scared mm-hmm. of your backup? I don't think anybody on that team is really scared of their backup. And that's not a good roster construction. And maybe they're in the rebuild. We keep talking about that. But they're a year further from last year that there's nobody there that if you are, you know, Braxton Jones, are you really nervous about Larry Borum?
No.
You've seen what he's put out there?
No, you're not.
I mean, is there any position where you underperform? I mean, Chase Claypool, you know, that we talked about in the pregame, was Velus Jones brought up to kind of push him a little bit, that if he struggled, does he slide into his spot? He played a little better. I got to give him credit. Didn't play great, but he played better. But there's nobody in that building that you're looking that might be a veteran, and there's a young guy like, hey, I'd rather have that guy there, or is he pushing me, or am I scared that he's going to take my job? So accountability is the big thing. You can't.
So you're saying next week they're going to suit up five quarterbacks.
That's what I'm saying.
Not six wide receivers.
Well, let's do this. They should have drafted Bryce Young and then had those two compete this year.
Wow. Well, that's next week's show.
Just kidding.
That's next week's show.
That's a good way to end this one.
Thanks,
huh?
Pat. Appreciate the content for all week. I'll be right here tomorrow morning, 5:30, the Mully and Haw Show, 5 o'clock, the pregame with Dustin Rhodes. Overnight, Gabe Ramirez. We got Bears talk all day long, all week long. Guys, thanks for making this fun and easy, even if it wasn't always enjoyable because of the outcome.
It was always good working with you, man. It was good when the frustration is so bad that they want to fire the post-game host also. So it's all good, man.
Hey, misery
you know
loves
I mean?
Company.
They want us fired. They want the Bears fired. I don't blame them. I don't blame them. The frustration is real, man.
Buccaneers 27, Bears 17. Thank you for listening to the Great Clips post-game show presented by Tullamore Dew. For Roland Kreutz and Patrick Manley, I'm David Haas. Stay tuned right here on The Score. We're going to have the post-game from Raymond James Stadium, what Matt Eberflus and players had to say after that. 5:35, it is Cubs pregame. Big game for the Cubs tonight against the Diamondbacks. First pitch at 6:10 on The Score and the Xfinity Cubs radio network. This is where you want to be on The Score all night for the Cubs, overnight for the reaction to the Bears, and then all day long when the Bears are picked apart, dissected, and we let you vent here on 670 The Score. Thank you for joining us all afternoon. Even though it was a long one, it was a fun one. I'm David Hall. Talk to you in the morning.